Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for parenting. Joanna Fortune is with us once again. Good afternoon, Joanna.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Here's your first question. I have an 8-year-old boy who's a happy-go-lucky sort of child. However, in the past year, from both school and creche, he's come home upset as another child has hit him. In one case, he was quite badly bruised. On some other occasions, he has also complained that other kids excluded him from games. Although I don't quite think he's being bullied by one individual or group of individuals, I'm worried he's on the path of being seen by his peers as a soft touch, someone who can be picked on and won't react. As parents, we have spoken to him and told him that it's okay to stand up for himself, and if hit, he can hit back. We've also spoken to the teachers and the creche workers, who have said they will look out for him, but also said he would be no harm if he stood up for himself. However, he's just not that sort of a child. He has a younger sister who can pester him a bit, but he never loses his temper or lashes out. It doesn't seem to be in his nature. We just don't know what to do. Both my wife and I feel if he doesn't stand up for himself, the situation will only get worse. I have a feeling, Joanna, you might have one or two things to say about that.
Just a couple of things there. I mean, he's 8. Like, Sean, he's a really young little boy at the moment. And, you know, when this parent is saying, you know, I don't think he's being bullied, I'm kind of going, are you sure? Like, are you really sure about that? This is a child who's come home having been hit to the point that he was badly bruised, is saying, I'm being isolated or left out of games by another group. I would approach this with more curiosity. And then when you say here, you know, if, you know, he's going to be seen as someone who can be picked on and won't react. Actually, Sean, this little boy is reacting. He's just not lashing back or lashing out. That's very different. There are many ways to stand up for yourself without hitting. So that I can't get behind you, but you knew I was going to say that.
Yes.
I would not be saying, you know, if you're hit, hit back, because I think in lots of ways you're trying to push him out of being who he naturally is. He's letting you know that's not in my inclination. I don't feel like that's something I want to do. So with the kind of the whoever hit him to the point of being bruised and then the kids who are excluding him, I'm just curious, is the same child involved in those? Just in terms of maybe marking people's cards that this might be more than, oh, he just needs to stand up for himself. I just find that not a very helpful thing to say to a child who does sound a little bit more sensitive in his temperament, and there is nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. I would hate to see him lose that. So in terms of your speaking to him, it says here, as parents, we've spoken to him and told him. Who has spoken to the other children? You know, when you've spoken to the school and the creche and they've said, sure, sure, we'll keep an eye, but he really also needs to stand up for himself. I'm just curious, has anyone spoken to the other children and has that been fed back to your son? Because from his perspective, bearing in mind he's 8, he's had these experiences, he's told you what's happened, and all he's getting is a message of stand up for yourself, be tougher. I don't know that that's going to be very helpful for him in the medium term, never mind the long term, but in the now, I don't think it is. I just feel, Sean, there's too much pressure on this little boy to change from his more naturally, innately sensitive nature rather than on the kids who are hurting or excluding, and that needs to be addressed. I would also emphasize, though, that while I said, you know, there are many ways to stand up for yourself without hitting, what I specifically mean is that assertiveness does not mean aggressive. And I think you could work with him on building up assertiveness. And that would start with role playing at home. Okay, I'll be you, you be the other kid, or you be the other kid, I'll be you, and tossing the roles back and forth so that he can really get to work out, find his voice. And it's always helpful for children to come up with a nice, neat, concise little phrase. Hey, I don't like that. You're not allowed to speak to me like that. Some phrase that is strong, it's confident, but it's easy because they've practiced it quite a lot. The other thing you could say to him is break it down into 3 steps where he says, stop, stop it right now. That's step 1. And then he moves away, goes and plays with somebody else, does something else. And the 3rd step is tell an adult. I think he needs to have a plan, and a plan that is about asserting himself without hitting. And I think you could also start focusing on building up his confidence and self-esteem by having him practice lots of independence. Excuse me. Practicing lots of independence, putting himself out there. Now, independence, John, like I'm really talking about going into coffee shops and ordering for himself at the counter, you know, dealing with shop assistants, you know, being able to kind of say, here's what I'd like, thank you, goodbye. Little interactions like that are very effective.
Mm. Hitting back, very bad idea.
I just don't think it's going to actually resolve anything at all other than feed into the aggression. Like, there's no evidence that a child hitting another child and the other child responding by hitting them back stops this from ever happening again. I think it's actually going to feed into it, and I think it could inadvertently amplify the situation. And I don't think it's this kid's nature, so I think it's going to actually bring some anxiety for him, and it's going to make him uncomfortable.
Mm. I just for the listeners now, oftentimes the questions we get in are far longer than what I read out. But of course, Joanna sees the whole question. And it did strike me as interesting that the parent who sent it in said that, you know, goes on to say that my son reminds me of myself. I was quieter when I was younger. And so that you can see how the parental feelings about themselves and their own past all get caught up in this kind of situation.
Oh, 100% you can. And I think it's very activating, Sean. Like, if you were a kid like this and everything in you wants to go back and say, oh, I just want to make it much easier for you than it was for me. And I wish I had, and if I could. However, you have to meet your son where he is right here, right now. And I think your son is actually doing all of the right things. And I think it's important he hears that. He's having these experiences, he's not comfortable with them, and he's bringing them to you and saying, hey, this is happening and I don't like it. This is the kind of stuff we want our kids doing.
Yeah. I want to ask for some insight into my 7-year-old daughter's behaviour. My daughter's always looking for new things. Anything will do, new toothbrush, new notebook, new teddy, new something, anything. She obsesses over it until she has it and then quickly loses interest. I think she might be seeking some sort of dopamine fix, which, once achieved, passes and she'll go on to the next thing. We do not try to spoil our kids, but inevitably they need new leggings because they go through the knees, or new shoes when they grow out of others, etc. We just had another major on the floor of the shopping centre meltdown because I said I would not buy her something in a shop we were in. She didn't want something specific, just anything. Is there something I'm missing beyond saying no and not today and validating her feelings of disappointment and frustration? She's the youngest of two. We want to support her in the right way, but not sure how to understand the behaviour, as the tantrums do not result in her getting her way, just in a lot of stress and embarrassment for both parents. Hmm.
I think this is really relatable. I bet you there's loads of parents listening going, oh, absolutely, I've been that person in the shop. And I think you're right, because as they're at this age, you know, as this parent is saying, you're frequently in shops picking up this, picking up that, new shoes, new leggings, and they see us doing that. And going into shops where there's tons of things out there and it's lots of temptations, that's very, very hard for a 7-year-old to manage. In terms of just the regulation of, oh, I want it, but impulse control now, I've really got to hold on to that and abide by the rules. That's very, very difficult for them to do. Now, I'm only saying that to explain it, Sean, rather than say, therefore, get her something every time. I would definitely not be getting her something every time, but I would be very explicit that the trip to the shop is for whatever item and name the item. And that is the only thing that you're going to the shop for. Be very explicit. This is before you get to the shop. There will be no treats. There will be no extra things brought. And you repeat this 2 to 3 times before you even get into the shop. And then you hold that boundary. Mm. No matter what she does, you hold it. And you're going to have to be consistent with this. Calm. And it's very hard to be calm when your child's having a meltdown on the floor, like this parent is describing. I think as well, though, Sean, at her age, I would ensure she has chores, that she can earn a small amount of pocket money, that, you know, you can tell her she can save up for treats. If she sees something in the shop, kind of instead of going, no, 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 say to her, oh, yeah, I can see why you'd like that. Why don't you add it to your list of things that you're going to save your pocket money for? And when you've enough pocket money, we can come back and get it. And you put it to her like that consistently, gentle yet firm, but it's calm consistency we're going for.
Yeah. Having a tantrum when you're 7, is that, it sounds unusual to me. It sounds like more something like a toddler would be doing.
It does sound like very young behaviour. You're absolutely right. Now, she's at the kind of upper age range of that early childhood stage. So we would also be looking at her saying, OK, yeah, I would expect her to be able to manage some of that emotional arousal a little bit better than this. But just this is a really good example of always with our children attending to where they're at developmentally, that you could have a child who's chronologically 7, But emotionally and handling disappointments and frustrations, their threshold could show you that they're really more like 5 or 4. And then you would see behaviours like that.
Yeah. Okay. One listener says, a tip I have in relation to shopping with children, have lots of looking days and very few buying days. Today is a looking day. Today is a shopping day. That might help. Unless, of course, you have to buy, the parent buys something, and then it's suddenly, you said it was a looking day.
Exactly.
I have 16-month-old twins, a boy and a girl. The girl is very boisterous, whereas the boy is much more relaxed. She's recently started being very mean to him, pulling his hair, pushing him over and laughing when he cries. She doesn't respond to any feedback from us to say she's bold or uh-uh. She sees it as a game and walks around laughing, saying aha. She also has started doing this in creche to other kids. I'd love some advice on how to show her this behaviour isn't acceptable and is making her brother very sad. Nothing we have tried seems to land with her. She's 16 months old.
I mean, you literally took that out of my mouth. She is 16 months old. That's why it's not landing with her. I think, you know, when at the beginning, and I get the frustration, and you've two of them, there always feels like there's more of them than you when you're parenting multiples like that. But she's recently started being very mean to him. Like, a phrase like she's being very mean infers an intent that just couldn't be there at 16 months. So we need to roll back and watch the language of how this little girl is being described. I also think, you know, she's pulling his hair, she's pushing him over. These are very sensory seeking behaviours. And she sounds like certainly a robust, physical, active little girl. And there's nothing wrong with that. But she may well benefit from much, much more outdoor play. I also think managing your expectations as parents of what she's capable of and linking with the creche as to what way they respond so that you can be consistent is key.
Mm. It would strike me as well, perhaps because her brother, you know, their twins are exactly the same age, and perhaps she doesn't understand why he isn't like her.
Well, exactly. And she may be looking for more of a reaction than she's getting. And I'm not saying that he, go back to our first question, we don't want him to go, well, stand up for yourself and push her back. But at the same time, what you find at this age is that distraction and redirection are what get you out of most of these situations. But when she hurts her brother, the important thing is to focus the attention on him. Let her see that he is the one that you're going to first and foremost. He is the one getting soothed. He is the one getting all of the focus. And when you gather him up, sing a gentle lullaby. See if that might draw her into the soothing so that you make it appealing to be kind and mind each other. But you have to show her this over and over and give her time and give her lots and lots of outdoor play. I think that little one really needs physical activity.
My 3.5-year-old son is very attached to his soother, but I think it is time he got rid of it. He doesn't have it all day in creche, but the minute he gets in the car, he asks for it. Anytime he starts to get tired or needs some sort of comfort, he will reach for the soother. I am conscious he is getting too old for it, and it may affect his speech and teeth. My daughter just went cold turkey when giving up hers, and she was fine. However, I feel he's much more attached to it. What should be my starting point in beginning the soother takeaway?
I mean, I actually think this level of thinking and planning is a great starting point with this. I mean, the cold turkey is certainly one tried and tested method, and it works with a number of kids. It really does. But you'll also have just as many kids, Sean, that it does not work with, because they don't like things just happening to them. They need to be eased into it. And particularly if the connection to this comfort item is so strong as it seems to be with this little guy. So I would be building up to reducing it. I'm very struck by how, you know, he doesn't have it all day in creche. He's very active. He's on the go all day. But then the minute he gets in the car, he asks for it. But when you think about it, he's getting in the car at the end of the day. He's tired. He's winding down. Of course, that's when he's going to seek his comfort item. So maybe if you don't have the Dodi in the car, or if you do just in case, but you don't offer it straight away, and instead you offer him a nice, soft, squishy item, a teddy, something else that would give him that comfort, that could actually be something to begin introducing an alternative to the Dodi. I would be reducing his use as much as you can. So it sounds like he's not getting it a huge amount other than evening time at home. But if you can even pull that back and delay when he's having it and ease up and then build up to kind of the odd day he doesn't have it. And then 2 days, 3 days, go up like that with him. That could work with him. You might want to set a date that you're like, okay, we're working towards this date and put it on a calendar. Now make sure it's at a calm time. There's nothing else going on in the family or in his life. Mark when it's coming, you know, oh, this is the big day. And you could say that you're going to leave the Dodie with the Dodie fairy or whatever language you want to use. And the Dodie fairy can swap it, can magic it away and swap it for something maybe that he does like, a little toy, a little book, a jigsaw, something that he would really like instead. And then the only thing I'd say on top of that, like these are all things that you'll find easy enough as advice, but I would add in, that celebrate that he's given up the Dodie, but don't act like this is the happiest day ever because it's not for him. And we need to be realistic about that. So hold some space for him to go, oh, well, it was exciting when the fairy took it initially and I got a treat, but now I regret that and I'd like it back. Get the fairy to bring it back. Yes. He's allowed to have regret. He's allowed to have some regression with this. And when he does, and I would really say when he does, not if, you're going to respond with comfort, with nurture, but you're not going to crack and give the Dodie back. You're going to support him through it and he will get through it. I just think it could take him a little bit longer than they're identifying already here than his sister took.
When our daughter was a little younger, she loved her books, always asking for just one more story before bed. I was so happy about this because I naively imagined this would translate into becoming a lifelong lover of books. Now she's 10 and doesn't even want to look at a book. She's well able to read, but if we ask her to sit down and read for half an hour, she gets very defensive and doesn't want to engage at all. I've tried getting her interesting contemporary books for her age range, but nothing I can do will get her over this hump. I've even tried to have a weekly rule of 1 hour reading every Sunday evening before sleep time. She hated the idea. How do I get her to love books like me and her mum do?
And there's something, Sean, about that weekly rule of 1 hour of reading every Sunday evening that sounds a bit homeworky. It just sounds a bit strict. And what you don't want is that she does that eye roll and it's like, oh, the dreaded reading hour, because that's not instilling a love of books in her and it's not allowing her to rediscover a love of books she certainly once had. I found myself interested, Sean, about this 10-year-old girl in terms of what else at home. What does she do instead of reading? I'm wondering about, and I don't say this in any way with judgment, I hope they don't hear any judgment in this, but curiosity truly, how much access does she have to screens? Because if she has a tablet or if she has access to a screen device and you say read a book, honestly, she's going to say, no, I'm going on YouTube. I'm going to go and do this, because it's giving her a lot of a quick hit, quick information, lots of stimulation. And it might be that she's drawn to that. And if that isn't this little girl, that certainly might be something for other parents who might be having similar, just to hold in mind. That be aware of what else is there that might be distracting away from the book and making the book less appealing. Then we're going to use that to see what is it they're watching online or what engages them in other kind of areas, even if it's not a screen-based device. And see, can you kind of, you know, thread outwards from that. You know, I often think if a child is really into a show or a pop star or a sports team or whatever it might be, that if you can find a book related either directly to that pop star sports team or a similar area to that, that's a good starting point, that you get them a book about the thing they're already interested in, rather than you saying, but I've always wanted my child to read Anne of Green Gables because I read it at 10.
Yeah.
You know, look at what interests her, meeting her where she's at. I think graphic novels are a great way to get kids who are reluctant chapter book readers who can. And there's so many great ones out there. You know, there's lots of them that are published, Irish writers, other writers. And you've got, you know, the big ones that are always seem to be in the charts. But you've also got other ones. And if you go into the bookstore and you say that you have a child that you'd really like to get something quite niche, quite interesting for them, there is a graphic novel. You could also find a graphic novel linked to a show that she likes and take it from there again as well. I would think that a couple of other things you could try is gift her a book that you loved as a kid, particularly if you happen to have the original copy that you had as a kid, and talk about it and how much you loved it. Suggest reading the same book at the same time so that you can kind of tag each other. Oh, did you get to chapter 4? Oh, me too. What did you think of this bit? What did you think of that? And be playful and creative in terms of thinking with your children. If you were writing this book, you know, how would you change, or what character would you introduce now? And oh, I don't think I would have written that character. I'd have written a different one. You know, so that you're talking around the book, not just her sitting quietly reading it herself. Audiobooks are something to try as well. If you've a child who has fallen out of habit of reading, to re-establish a connection with them. And if in doubt of all of this, what about a comic? Not even a graphic novel, but a comic. I don't really care what kids are reading, Sean, once they're reading something. So I would play around with all of it and just consider, instead of your Sunday reading hour, how about as a family, you assign an hour on a Saturday, for example, or some day after school, and you go to the library for that hour. And she's surrounded by books and book related things. And for an hour, there's no demand. There's no kind of you must read X amount or you must read. But she must sit in the library with books with all of you. And it just takes it out of home. And I just don't want it becoming a battle between them, because that will only further interfere with her love of books.
Joanna, thanks a million as ever. Thank you particularly for battling through. That sounds like a fairly severe cold you have there as well. So thanks a million as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.